Cryptonauts, and welcome back to another episode of Cryptocurrency Chat, episode 539. Let's see, what is today? Today is August the 6th, 2023, here with Mikey Mike. Let me fix my camera here. Here with Mikey Mike in the house, ready to give you some crypto news. But before we do, it's the weekend, so what did I do over the weekend? I watched a bunch of crypto YouTube, and there was one thing that happened, I guess, earlier this week, which was Mining Disrupt. And I didn't know anything about this, you know. I just started watching some YouTubers, and I guess this is what they did over the weekend. They went to Mining Disrupt, and they already got next year's ready to go, man. So here's some clips really quick of what Mining Disrupt is all about. Hardware, you know, if you like the hardware stuff, go to Mining Disrupt. It looks so awesome. I would geek out so hard on this stuff. It's insane. And I watched hours and hours of this stuff. So thanks to all the YouTubers out there that went out there to Mining Disrupt to make some of this content enjoyable for me to watch. Yes. All right, let's head on over to our first news. Wow, there's a lot of speakers. All right, check it out. Go to miningdisrupt.com. All right, let's go to the first news article, which is This Week in Crypto Twitter, provided by decrypt.co. SBF accused of executing mass rug pull from house arrest. Ooh, what's going on here? Let's see what's going on. Well, the most leading coins posted light to moderately heavy losses over the week due to the scarcity of regulatory or institutional news. Crypto Twitter was ablaze with rumors that disgraced former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried had rug pulled a meme coin from house arrest. Scimitar Capital Analysis Alex, who tweeted using the handle Thicky Thoth. analyzed on-chain activity to piece together the crazy story of the week's most scandalous rug pull. It happened on Coinbase's new Layer 2 blockchain Base, which is built on the Ethereum extension Optimism. And there's a tweet from Thicky Thoth. A lot of people thought it was SBF. So, yeah, why? What's going on here? Let's see. There was a bunch of tweets. Crypto trader Brand spotted a connection between the Bald deployers and a wallet that triggered the epic death spiral of UST in May 2022. The collapse of Terra's dollar-pegged UST was one of the worst cases of contagion in the industry has ever seen, and the contagion spread so far that it had a hand in the downfall of several major companies, including Celsius, Voyager, Vault, 3 Hours Capital, and even FTX. Blockchain researcher Igor Igamberdiev wrote a lengthy thread observing that the rug was probably not carried out by SBF, but would still have been perpetrated by someone connected to Alameda, the trading firm and sister company of FTX, to which the exchange sent customer funds in order to patch over the former's poor balance sheet. Crypto journalist and YouTuber Tiffany Fong also wasn't convinced it was SBF. Why? Let's see. Guys, this is what Tiffany tweets. Guys, SBF hadn't had access to a normal phone or laptop since April 2023. When his belt conditions changed, he's basically been using a flip phone without internet connection and a laptop with restricted access to whitelisted websites, New York Times, Wall Street Journals, Court Listeners, etc. So even SBF was the star of the show that day. In a tweet that's too lengthy to reproduce here, crypto trader DeFi Squared followed the movements of the exploiter of the multi-chain protocol, and it led him to a $40 million bribe that the FTX founder allegedly paid to the Chinese government. Quote, the rumors up to this point was that the multi-chain fund may be held by the Chinese government, and this seems to confirm it, end quote. DeFi Squared analyst concludes, the liquidation of the funds tonight also seems to confirm that they have no intention of returning it. The rest of crypto Twitter. All right. Let's go. Crypto Twitter was also ablaze with activity elsewhere. It was truly a busy week. On Monday, U.S. presidential hopeful Robert F. Kennedy Jr. continued to signal his pro-Bitcoin stance. And here's a tweet from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Interesting argument that Bitcoin is not so bad for the environment after all. At the very least, environmental arguments should not be used as a smokescreen to curtail freedom to transact. Hashtag Kennedy24. News broke that day that notorious crypto influencer and scammer Richard Hart is getting sued by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. And here's a tweet from Summers. Richard Hart is sued by the SEC for securities fraud. And there's a screenshot of the complaint. Crypto enthusiast and trademark attorney Jessica Neer McDonald broke down the salient points in the copyright trial between Bored Ape Yacht Club, creator Yuga Lab, and digital art troll, conceptual artist, and Yuga hater writer Rips. And if you guys want to get into details, go to that tweet there. Peter von Valkenburg, the director and researcher at Pro Crypto Policy Lobbyist Coin Center, wrote a great thread about why the IRS's decisions to tax block rewards at the moment of the creation rather than their sale is just bad law. All right, there's a tweet from Peter.
And it's yeah, it's pretty bad law.
It's pretty bad law.
Yeah.
Let's see. In a revenue ruling released yesterday, the IRS doubled down on classifying block rewards as income when received rather than taxing them when they are sold. Ah, yeah. That does sound pretty bad. Yeah.
That means you're required to sell when you get it in order to pay for that or have a different revenue stream that you can use to subsidize your taxes.
That's... No. I'm telling you, man. The American government, all they want is your Bitcoin. Like, they literally, that is the biggest obvious conspiracy that's going on right now. They don't want nothing else. They want your Bitcoin. They're trying to do everything. They don't want anything else. They don't want your shit coin, your scam coins. You know? Your coins from last week, they want your Bitcoin. That's all they want. And it sounds kind of dumb. And I got my tinfoil cap on, right? But the more you look into the SEC and the CFTC and things like the CIA, you know, and FBI and all the things that they're doing, yeah, tinfoil hat is on. They're definitely coming for your coins. Get them off exchanges. Continuing on, NFT artist Beeple, who set the record for the biggest NFT sale, $69.3 million, decided to buy his first NFT profile pic. Just last week, he was soliciting advice from followers about how to make the purchase. Really? Beeple? Doesn't know how to make a purchase? Beeple doesn't know how to buy NFTs?
I think he's just trying to figure out which punk to buy.
Okay. See, this is.
Yeah, he knew he wanted to buy Punk, and he's asking advice on which one would be a good one.
Okay.
And even which one's available, you know, some might be good ones that aren't for sale.
Yeah. Tether CTO Paolo Arduino threw in some subtle shade at True UST, USD. Oh, and this is actually where that whole what we're talking about, the USDC. This whole True USD is going to be like the center, the pinnacle, like the point of this whole debacle between BUSD and USDC. Watch. We'll see. All right. True USD. A Binance-affiliated dollar-peg stable coin that promises total. So that's what they want to do. They want to get rid of their USDC and trade it for True USD. All right. A Binance-affiliated dollar-peg stablecoin that promises total regulatory compliance, reserves backed entirely by cold, hard fiat, and real-time attestations of those reserving using Chainlink's proof of reserve monitoring tools. So unlike USDC, which is clearly in their white paper that they only hold about, you know, a fraction of, I guess, a fiat, right? A fraction, a percentage of fiat backed. Per token.
So it's a fractional reserve coin.
Yeah, and that's
awesome.
It's always been on the white paper. It's always been that way, and that's how it's been accepted. So I think that's why Binance is like, dude, I don't want to play this game. I'm gonna get out of here. Well, I mean, they even stopped their whole BUSD, right? They had to shut that down, you know. And now they got TrueUSD. So earlier in the year, they shut down BUSD. They stopped their trades of BUSD. I think that's what happened. Yeah, isn't that what happened? Or you don't follow that?
Something like that.
It was something like that,
I
right? So
don't really follow that.
yeah, so they stopped the whole BUSD because the government was cracking down on them. So it's okay, cool. Now TrueUSD is like the new thing. Like this is government regulated, I guess. Whatever. They're in compliance, supposedly. But in the eyes of the SEC, Uncle Gary, nothing. They're nothing. Nothing. It's compliant. The air you breathe is not compliant. I know. Freaking. Seriously, he's got to go. Uncle Gary's got to go. Finally, Bloomberg Journal James Steffart counted not 10, not 11, but 13 applications for Ethereum futures ETFs filed to the SEC this week. And yep, there's a tweet there, and that's it. And I'm sure that they're going to all get rejected by tomorrow. All right. That is it for this week on Crypto Twitter. All right. I'm done. It's all you, Mike. Let me know what's going on with Bitfinex.
Oh, yeah. Hold on one quick sec. So Bitfinex hacker revealed Razlikins. I don't know how to say her name. I don't really care. Husband admits she stole billions in bitcoins. Yeah, not a respectable person. It's been long suspected the couple hacked a crypto exchange, but only now been confirmed by admissions in court. Lilia Lichtenstein, who last month agreed to forfeit billions in a plea deal for his role in laundering funds from a 2016 hack of crypto exchange Bitfinex, has now admitted he was a hacker. Although it has long been speculated either Lichtenstein or his wife, Heather Morgan, were the ones who stole 120,900 Bitcoin, it's now only been confirmed. The new detail was originally reported by CNBC. The couple appeared in a sentencing hearing in Washington. During the court hearing, Bitfinex hacker also admitted that he and his wife converted some of the stolen crypto assets to gold coins and buried them. I mean, if you're gonna steal billions of dollars, you should do that. According to CNBC's account of the hearing, Lichtenstein flew to Ukraine and Kazakhstan to convert the crypto to cash before depositing the funds in an American bank account. Lichtenstein and Morgan, also known by her rapper name as, I'm not even going to say it, were arrested earlier last year on charges having laundered the funds stolen from Bitfinex in 2016 and could face up to 20 years in prison. As part of their plea deal, the couple has agreed to forfeit proceeds from the almost 120,000 Bitcoin accused of laundering at the time of their arrest. The Department of Justice seized $3.6 billion worth of Bitcoin it believed to be collected to the 2016 hack. At the time, Deputy Attorney General Lisa O. Monaco said in a press release it was the department's largest ever seizure of crypto assets and provided cryptocurrency is not a safe haven for criminals. Before the arrest, investors were keen to track the funds using blockchain data and a maddening bit of transparency for victims who can see their funds moved around. A few weeks before the plea deal was announced in July, Bitfinex recovered a small portion of the coins, about $314,000. It was taken during the 26 hack. The majority of the funds have still not been returned to users.
Wow.
So that article is a little unclear. Did they manage to reclaim Bitcoin or
It doesn't look like they were able to reclaim the, or what were they? From my understanding, they weren't able to get the 3.6 billion. They got 314,000.
it's just a little big difference. That's like what, 10 Bitcoin?
Let's check it out right now. Let me see. Well, by
Just
the
about.
yeah, 10
Give or
Bitcoin.
take.
Wow. Next news, really quick. Huobi crypto exchange grapples with rumor of insolvency amid hefty outflows. Ah, what's going on with Huobi? Have you heard about this, Mike? Mike and Mike?
I did just yesterday.
Ah, what's the rumor out there?
Get your coins off exchanges.
Bro, tell me.
Unless you're
man.
Willing to lose them.
Yes, yes, yes. Take it off. Take it off now. You know, use it as a use it as an on-ramp. If you had a crypto on-ramp, but take your crypto off of there as soon as you can. I would especially be suspicious of exchanges that have like a 30-day waiting period. That to me is shady, bro. And any exchange, like, you can't take it off immediately. You're going to have to keep it on your keep it in the wallet here for at least 30 days. That tells me that they're doing some front running or some lending on your
coins. Or ones that offer ridiculous
fees.
Ridiculous leverage trading. Like, 100x leverage, 500x. If the exchange lets that get away from them, they could really just destroy their profits.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy times.
The Huobi cryptocurrency exchange has been hit with outflows totaling a staggering $64 million this past weekend, continuing a long decline of the total value locked on the exchange to $2.5 billion to $3 billion a month ago. Adam Cochran, a fintech executive, angel investor, and renowned crypto Twitter analyst, recently raised eyebrows with a series of statements regarding the apparent financial instability of Huobi. He reported the global crypto heavyweight Binance had commenced the bulk sale of Tether USDT, a leading stablecoin. Why is Tether selling off? Likely due to Huobi's insolvency, Cochran mused, later adding that there had been weird balance shifts at Huobi over the past month. Cochran connected these observations with recent rumors that Huobi executive and personnel from Tron, a blockchain platform founded by crypto entrepreneur Justin Sun, were questioned by police. Cochran even posted a list of names of people he said were detained, including its head of human resources, server operations, product, and chain tech, all of whom reported to Tron CTO Marcus Zhang. But the tweet was subsequently deleted. Yeah, that's kind of shady, bro. I'm scared, man. Quote, I don't think Binance is selling their Tether for two reasons, he theorized. They want to topple USDT to push stablecoin so they can control the gain from, or they realize Sun doesn't have the USDT he claimed to, and if users find out, they might dump to mass his exchange, to escape his exchange. Cochran then broke down his understanding of Huobi's holdings across USDT and USDC combined. Huobi only holds $90 million of assets. He alleged Huobi's own Merkle Tree audit still lists that Huobi users have $630 million of USDT held and a wallet balance of $631 million USDT. Users think they have a balance of $631 million of Huobi, but there's only $90 million in there.
Wow.
That's a big difference, man. That's
real bad.
Yeah. So yes, absolutely. Right now, as of yesterday, before the weekend even started, you should have had your coins off of there, off of all exchanges, man. This is gonna be another one that's gonna crash, man. But I don't know. I don't know how much pool Huobi has. I think if Huobi goes down, I don't know if it's going to really affect the market that much, because it's its own standalone. I don't know. What's interesting? Unless it's not really Huobi that's the real issue, it's USDT. Now, if USDT is the main issue of why Huobi is collapsing, then that's a problem. That's where it gets scary.
Isn't that exchange owned by Justin Sun?
USDT.
Or is that Poliax?
Yeah, that's the Tron. No, TUSD is Tron. Oh, hold on. I'm confused now. Let's check it out. USDT. Let's check it out. Tether. That's Tether. Yeah. So Tether is... I don't think it's...
No, I'm at the exchange.
Well, okay, hold on. Let's see. You're talking about Huobi?
Yeah. Or is
Huobi?
it polio or something?
Poloniex. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I think Poloniex. I think they ended up buying out Poloniex. I don't know about Huobi. But yeah, there's some shady stuff going on with, let's see, with Tether. Well, Tether seems to be stable. Stable enough. Hasn't depegged yet. Circulating supply, 1,000 million billion. 83, pretty much $84 billion. Well, hopefully, stays that way. Because that's going to be scary, dude. If USDT does collapse, that's going to
I don't
hurt.
think it's going to collapse.
I don't think so either. Even though it's no better than fiat, in my opinion. And when they put that thing together, they just print the extra zeros.
Yeah, I'm going to join you in your tinfoil hat. My gut says that USDT is backed by, some key United States government three-letter agencies that have access to whatever funds they want. So if USDT has a liquidity issue, they can just jump on that Excel program, type in some ones and zeros, and then fix it.
Interesting. All right, let's hit the last one here. What do we have? Worldcoin bug allows anyone to become orb operator. Oh,
Air quote that bug.
again. Why do we have Worldcoin news? I'm so done with this. Like, stop scanning your eyes. We talked about this on the last episode, right, Mike? Your
Yep.
privacy, your biometrics are more important than you can ever see. People overlook the whole biometric privacy. People don't really care about that kind of stuff, or at least these 2 million people, should I say? Because good thing that it's only been 2 million people scanned, and that's it. And that was literally just the hype of it. That's where all of the news of WorldCoin came, was from those 2 million from those first 72 hours. After that, there has not been any growth. There has been activity on their app because one of the requirements to collect your what is it called, your UBI. That's what it is. It's a UBI. Well, whatever they want to call it, it's a UBI, universal basic income. It's a stipend. You have to open up the WorldCoin app and you have to scan your eyeball via your camera lens regularly. Once a day, at least, I think it was. Once a day, every 24 hours. Okay.
That's
And
brutal.
that's showing that there's a ticker showing that the numbers are going up, but it's not really going up. It's the same people that are scanning every 24 hours. So those numbers are kind of obscured. They're definitely obscured. What scares me about the whole WorldCoin thing is that I guess I was watching another YouTuber talking about they finally got hands on the white paper. Because literally, if you go to their website, WorldCoin, there is no white paper. WorldCoin.org. Is it WorldCoin.org? Let's see.
You found a link to their white paper, though?
No, it's it was a YouTube. I would have to go back to his channel and get it. But I was listening to him, and he goes, "Bro, there was only one thing that really stood out to me. There's a lot of shady stuff on there, but one of the things is social credit. It's part of WorldCoin's white paper, social credit.
Huh.
Are you freaking kidding me, bro? Are you kidding me? Like people are you are, do the people not understand what that means? Bro, I have to read the white paper now. Because I haven't had time this week, but yeah, I'm gonna get my hands on that and I'm gonna print it out because I like to read it on paper. And be like, yeah, I have to report back to you guys on that. But if that's true, that's insane.
You
It's
should
insane.
make it a YouTube short to run through the white paper real quick.
See, why is it on their website? Every single coin in ex oh, there it is, WorldCoin white paper. Okay. Proof of personhood, technical, blah, 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 blah. Limitations. Okay, I found it. Okay, let's go. Do, 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 do. I'm looking at it right now. Face authentication. So once you scan your eyeball with the orb, it has your biometrics there. And then you just need to do, I guess, you just got to use the app to continuously do human verification. Now, where's the whole, I want to see further research. Let's see. Disclaimer. Crypto products, nature of the white paper, token features, disclaimer relating world tokens information, cautionary, information purpose. I guess I'm gonna read this, and I thought it was gonna be easier than this, but it's not. Oh, hold on, let's see. Token features, nature of white paper, crypto products, limitations. Foundations and governance. There's a lot of reading here, so I'm gonna have to read this some other time. That's it. Oh, the bug. Hold on. Let's catch up on the bug. Crypto security firm Certec revealed its recent a recently unearthed a vulnerability in the WorldCoin protocol that allows attacker to bypass the verification process to become an orb operator. So, yeah. The pros and cons. I don't know if there's any cons, to be honest, other than now you have, like, I guess maybe you can have criminals, just scanning your eyeball while you're asleep, pretending to be the tooth fairy. I don't know. I guess that's the con. The pro is that now that
What
it's.
is that old adage? The best way to crack Bitcoin security is with a wrench. You just beat a guy over the head until he gives you the private keys. Now it's just, oh, all I need is an ice cream scooper.
Yeah. According to CertiK, the vulnerability would have reportedly enabled anyone to circumvent their verification requirements to become a WorldCoin orb operator. The individual wouldn't be obligated, for instance, to be a legitimate company, undergo proper ID verification, or pass vetting interview. Okay. Now, another thing that in their white paper that they said that, or in the roadmap, the roadmap said that they were actually going to open source this stuff already. Okay, so is it suspicious? Is it just it's unusual? How about that? It's unusual that all of a sudden it's like, hey, there's a bug, and people are just gonna make some stuff and just be the operators and just get more eyeballs scanned without our permission. And I guess we just have to distribute more tokens to them. Oh no. Oh
No,
no.
no,
Oh no.
I mean, and also, if that is legit, and if it's like not, like, put away the tinfoil hat, and
Okay.
it is a genuine mistake, then they're not secure. They're like, what, less than a month out of the gate,
Bro,
and they've already
they're
got a
not even
huge
14 days, bro.
vulnerability?
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah,
Exactly.
like 2 weeks. Like, what do you think's gonna happen? Like 6 months, we make. Oh, actually, now they can, hook it up to a AI program that can print your eyeball. And now your eyeball has actually been made 100,000 copies all over the
And that's
world.
what people, I, that, there you go. There you go. Boom, boom, boom. That's it right there. People don't understand the whole biometrics identification on that. Now and forever, your biometrics, or whoever got their eyeball scanned, right, the pupil scanned, is forever in that database, right? Now into the end of time, as long as this network continues to exist, it's like 23andMe. Once you spit in that tube and you give them, because I want to find my ancestry. I want to know where I'm from. It's like they keep your DNA forever, right? It's one of the terms and requirements, right? They keep all that DNA data forever, and they share it with whoever they want forever. Biometrics, DNA, RNA.
Yep.
I'm so done with this, dude. We gotta jump on the Mars bandwagon after Elon Musk wins this fight against Mark Zuckerberg. You know, we're gonna have to jump on that. I don't know what's the newest rocket that he's building.
I'm not sure.
The Falcon 9000, whatever it is. Okay, we're out of here, dude. Let's get out of here. Stack Sats, everybody. Stack Sats and huddle.
Adios.
Adios.